Welcome to True North Vineyard Podcast, where we share our Sunday gathering messages. True North is a vibrant church plant community located in Traverse City, Michigan area. We are centered in the Bible and follow the example of Jesus praying, "Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." We hope that our Sunday gathering messages encourage you to lean into the Word of God and compel you to take action. To connect with us, visit our website, vineyardtruenorth.churchcenter.com, and follow us on Facebook and Instagram at True North Vineyard.
Well, hi guys. My name is Brooke. I am wife of Jared. Yeah, and we're the lead pastors here at True North. So Jared's been begging me to preach forever. Yeah, and to finally get some peace and quiet at home. Here we are. Okay, so I have a pretty interesting history of learning how to surrender to the Holy Spirit. So to share a bit of my backstory, I grew up in a pretty conservative evangelical church. And when I was 21, I served as a missionary in a small country called Swaziland in Africa. It's right by South Africa, Mozambique. So I remember going to Georgia for my training camp the week before my trip and panic just setting in. Like, what did I just get myself into, right? Like, I'm about to fly across the country for months and, you know, I'm terrified. So that panic further set in when I actually got into the bush of Africa, surrounded by, you know, total strangers. I shared a room with 16 other women. Like, it was scary. But in that time, I decided, all right, you know what? I'm going to fully press in to God with my everything during this trip. And the next 3.5 months turned out to be one of the most incredible times with the Lord that I've ever experienced in my life. I began to have a deep intimacy with Him that, though I had been a follower of Christ my entire life, it was just this richness and this depthness that I had never known before. So upon returning back to the States, I did an internship back in Georgia through the same organization I did my trip with. And I very unknowingly walked into a very thriving, charismatic culture. Now, my trip, like most of the people on my trip, were also pretty conservative, had similar backgrounds in me. Not my new friends in Georgia, okay? They had just gotten off the field from an 11-month trip into 11 different countries, most of them, and they were seeing crazy supernatural acts of God, like all the time. They were seeing demons cast out of people. People were being healed, you know, and I was terrified because this new charismatic manifestations, I was just like, it was so far out of my comfort zone. I remember one time we were at like a 12-hour worship set and one of my friends, I was in the soundboard, one of my friends was like right in front of me and this little kid starts praying over him, like laying his hand praying over him and then just like poof, falls right out in the spirit, just laying there. Like totally normal to everybody else. I'm like, what's, is he okay? Like, what's going on? Like, people just walking around him. He's like on the ground for hours, right? Like, part of me had felt like I had just come alive. I craved to have these same, you know, God experiences and see these miracles all my friends were seeing. But the other part of me was super freaked out. Like, I didn't know how to handle all of this charismatic stuff, right? So I started having this deep-set fear that if I were to further surrender to the Lord to reach the same level that my friends had, that I would all of a sudden fall over on the ground and begin to violently shake, while at the same time just seeing demons everywhere. Like, it's really funny to think about now, like, how illogical that was, but it was anything but funny then. Like, it was a real fear I had to work through. So I had to learn to grow my trust in Him and to be able to surrender everything before Him. I just remember I had to have multiple times with God just reminded me of my history with Him, reminding me who he was and that he was always the same God he always has been. So it's been 9 years since I lived in Georgia. And mind you, I've yet to see a demon or fall over on the ground and shake. But you know, I'm still young, so it could happen. I don't know. I'm more okay with it now, you know. Yeah, but one thing's for sure. As we pursue God, we are transformed. And our journey with God might come with charismatic manifestations, or it might just be subtle moves of the Holy Spirit within our lives. So that's what I want to talk about tonight. So I've titled my message, Abiding in Jesus. And we're going to talk about what intimacy with God looks like. So we're going to be reading from John chapter 15, verses 1 through 16. So let's go there now. And I'm reading from the ESV, aka Extra Snooty Version, for those who are curious and want to follow along. Yeah. Okay. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does not bear, that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you, unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you would go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I have commanded you so that you will love one another. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, come. We make room for whatever you want to do in us tonight. I pray that our hearts would be marked by your Holy Spirit this evening, and that we would walk away changed by your touch. We submit ourselves to you fully, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, John chapter 15. Jesus is surrounded by his disciples in the upper room, giving his last farewell message, as was Jewish custom. Jesus is giving us these words as some of the last things he's telling us before he's about to die on the cross. So a vineyard is a long-standing analogy within the Old Testament and Jewish culture. Jesus is associating himself with Israel by saying that he is the vine. The vineyard analogy is used throughout the Old Testament regarding Israel. Israel was God's vineyard, meant to grow and produce good fruit. We see this in Isaiah 5, verses 1 through 7. Now, though, Jesus is saying that he is the vine. He's saying that he is fulfilling Israel's mission and that anyone who remains in him is now part of the vineyard of God. These new people of God are now called to bear good fruit just as Israel was meant to. He is the vine. We are the branches. Jesus is inviting us into a deep and abiding relationship with him. And as we remain in him, we experience his love. And then we go forth and extend that love to others. So tonight, I'm going to share with you 3 points regarding this. Number one, abiding in God draws me closer to him. Number two, fruitfulness flows from my intimacy with God. And number three, abiding in God is a lifestyle. So point number one, abiding in God draws me closer to him. The goal of our relationship with Christ is an interior life. It's him living inside of us. We are now the houses of dwelling. Jared talks about this a lot. We are now the temples of the Holy Spirit. It's his spirit living within us, right? So in verses 13 through 14, Jesus says, "If you obey my commands, I call you my friend." This is a stunning level of comfortable, personal interaction with the God of the universe. Prior to this, in the Old Testament, we only see 2 instances of someone being referred to as a friend of God, and that would be Abraham and Moses. But now he is saying, you are invited into that level of friendship with me. This is what closeness with God looks like. So when I said yes to Jared, I was saying yes to a lot of really amazing, positive things. But my yes to Jared also means I have to say no to other things. It's not just about me anymore. It's about us. My yes to Jared also means it's a no to every other man out there. Sorry, fellas. Off the market. So Jared has a saying in our marriage that I love. He says, "You are my greater yes." By saying this, he's implying that no matter what I have to suffer through or sacrifice, you are my greater yes. So what does this look like with our relationship with the Lord? Jesus is saying that we have to safeguard our relationship with Christ so that we may continue to abide in him and him in us. There's positive and negative aspects that I see in this. And let me explain what I mean. So the positive. Positive things that I can do to pursue my intimacy with God. Spending time in the Bible. And I cannot overemphasize this point enough. Because we can get to a very dangerous place if we start to pursue intimacy with God apart from his word. Because then we can start creating an own God in our own mind and in our head that doesn't align with who God actually is or what his truth says. Listening to the Bible on audio has been truly life-changing for me. Whereas I really struggled having the daily connection point and daily, like, physically getting in my word, when I switched and started listening to it on audio through the YouVersion app, suddenly it opened up this whole new world where I was able to listen to the Bible on audio for hours a day while I was driving, making dinner, doing the laundry. And listening to the Bible in larger chunks like that is really awesome because you start to see the themes in scripture. You start to say, hey, like, I know what he's referencing back to. I just listened to that yesterday. But like I said, I cannot overemphasize getting in your Bible enough. Prayer. Spending time in prayer. We also have contemplative prayer. Also, we could call that listening prayer, where that's where we're just listening back to what God is saying to us, where prayer becomes this two-way conversation. Turning our affection toward him, just pausing and meditating on who he is and just telling him how much we love him. Being still and resting in his presence. We live in a very fast-paced culture. We have to rest and slow down and just sit and bask in who God is. And worship. Some of the ways I personally really connect with the Lord is being alone in nature, being alone and listening to music and painting, being alone in my car listening to worship music, really just being alone is great. All my introverts get me, right? Yeah. But I encourage you, find your own ways where you feel that connection, that closeness with the Lord, and press into that. So over and over again in these verses, Jesus is telling us, abide in me, remain in me, and I in you. This mutual dwelling cannot be achieved by our efforts alone. It requires a commitment from both of us, us and the Lord. This is not a fleeting or temporary commitment, but an enduring, permanent, and eternal relationship. The word here used, in some translations use remain or stay or abide, is meno. And it describes a profound, intimate, and enduring relationship. So the negative, making Jesus our greater yes. So that looks like submitting to him and surrendering to him. I surrender my life to be attached to God. Sometimes there are things in our life that we, knowing or unknowingly, we pick up and we hold on to. And these things can hinder our walk with the Lord. So yeah, this slide, I just have this mental image, and so I created this slide, but it's just like, when we have all these things that we pick up and carry on to, it's like, they're in between us and Jesus. We're not able to have that intimacy because of all these things that we just refuse to surrender or let go. But once we do, intimacy is available to us. I have to self-impose restrictions to safeguard my relationship with God, just like I do in my marriage. So when I was a teenager, the Lord led me to this time of just surrendering everything to him. And what that looked like practically for me in this instance is going through and writing out every single dream or desire I held dear in my heart. And it was a really challenging experience. And some of the things were like, yeah, absolutely, I trust God for this, write it down. And then other things were like, oh, this is painful. This is a biggie. But I had to bring it into focus, and what I just had this word picture in my mind of being before Jesus in the throne room and just being at his feet. And then suddenly surrendering these things to him didn't seem so difficult after that. It became easy. And so I wrote everything down I could think of, and I ended up putting it in an envelope, and I taped it to the ceiling above my bed so that every morning when I woke up and every night when I went to bed, I had that twice daily reminder. Like, nope, those things, I surrendered them to the Lord. They're not mine anymore. Like, my life is not my own. Jesus, have your way. And it was a discipline, but it was so worth it. When we surrender to God, he transforms our lives. And as a result, we can be sure that he will bring about our best life. Point number two, fruitfulness flows from my intimacy with God. The Bible uses, what's the word I'm looking for? Agricultural. I mess this up every time in practice. Thank you, babe. Agricultural terminology to describe our maturity as believers. And out of this maturity, just as a tree would grow good fruit off its limbs, we do good works. We just talked about the fruits of the spirits down in kids downstairs, you know, like, and the fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, right? These are good fruits. Maturity in Christ produces good works. Therefore, having intimacy with Jesus transforms us and matures us to be able to then go out and minister to others. Verse 5 says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Here, he's referring to things of eternal value. I want to make an eternal impact. John 5:19 says, so Jesus explained, I tell you the truth. The Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. As we submit to Jesus and experience intimacy, we must submit to his will and his authority. Jesus and his earthly ministry was submitted to the Father. He only did what he saw the Father doing. This deep abiding relationship with God will then lead us in the same way to go out and minister to others, to extend God's mercy to others. I can pray according to his will, and he will meet my deepest desires. It's because our desires start to change and to look like his desires. Because my desires are submitted to him, and the closer I become like Jesus, we start to think alike. However, it is not always rainbows and butterflies, unfortunately. In this life with God, there are also those times of pruning. Because drawing close to God, it means he has to remove these unrighteous parts of our lives because he wants us to bear more fruit. Side note here, pruning is not a punishment. Pruning is the act of cutting away unhealthy parts of a branch so that it will produce more fruit. And we have to allow God the same. We have to let him do the same thing in our lives. The same word you hear that they use for prune in Greek is often translated to mean to clean. We have to allow him to cleanse us. Jesus says that his words make us clean. It is his scriptures and his indwelling spirit that reveal to us things that have to be dropped. And God will either prune that in our lives or we have to surrender it. Now, I have had a very pruning year, and it's not fun. It's actually really painful sometimes, but I'm really deeply thankful for it. I was carrying around a lot of junk and a lot of mindsets that didn't align with Christ. And though it's been a very painful process, I have had a rich, deepening relationship with the Lord through this. And I would do it 10 times over to have the same closeness that I have now with the Lord. Point number 3, abiding in God is a lifestyle. Jared and I have a phrase we often use in our marriage. We tell each other, I choose you. Because love is a choice. And yes, we said yes to choosing each other on our wedding day. But to continue having a thriving, intimate relationship, I have to choose him every day, whether I feel it or not. It has to be the same with our relationship with the Lord. We have to carve out time for these daily connection points with him. We have to make this abiding a lifestyle. The cost of surrender is great, but the cost of not fully surrendering is even greater. Jonathan, you can go ahead and come up. God is patiently waiting for you. He says in Zephaniah 3:17, "For the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Savior. He will take great delight in you with gladness. With his love, he will calm all of your fears, and he will rejoice over you with joyful songs." If you walk away without hearing anything else tonight, please hear this. You are deeply loved and deeply known by God. You have been chosen by him. He is pursuing you. God wants to have a thriving and intimate relationship with you. Part of Jesus' farewell message to his followers was, "Remain in me. Remain in me. Remain in my love." 1 John 4:16 says, "So that we have come to know and to believe the love God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him." God calls you his child. He says that he's loved you with an everlasting love. And today, if you need to surrender things in your life to have that greater relationship with God, God says that anything we could have apart from him, it's not worth it. His life that he has for us is so much greater. Jesus says in John that the thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. But my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Will you abide in him? Will you surrender everything to him tonight? So we're going to take communion together here in a minute. Mike, if you can go ahead and start passing them out. And just hold on to the elements after you take them. We're just going to leave a space here for you to connect with the Lord, just to reflect and repent of any sins that you feel Holy Spirit leading you to. And then I'm going to come back and we'll take communion together. I'm just going to pray. Jesus, thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you that we get to have this close friendship with God. I pray that you would speak to all of our hearts tonight, that you would guide us to the things that we need to let go of and surrender. We want to have the good fruit. We want to make an eternal impact. We want to draw closer to you tonight, God. We thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Thanks again for tuning in to the True North Vineyard podcast. We hope that you are blessed by this message. To connect with us, be sure to visit our website at vineyardtruenorth.churchcenter.com and follow us on Facebook and Instagram at True North Vineyard. We hope to see you soon.